Hey, Scott, how's it going? All right. So, one, you can now exhale. great job on the keynote. So for folks kind of watching, what are some of the key things that they should take away from today's keynote? You know, there's just a lot of shock and awe, if you will. But if you're like somebody watching, hey, here's the elevator pitch. Here's kind of the top things that you should take away.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's probably two takeaways. One is, you know, throughout the entire day, I think one of the things that we really emphasized was, you know, how with both the Visual Studio family of tools and then in particular with Azure, you know, how we're looking to enable any developer to build any app using any platform.
Mm-hmm.
And really now have a comprehensive story, whether you're developing on Windows and using .NET, we love you, we got great support. If you're developing on a Mac and you're using another language, say Node or Go or Python, hey, we've got a great story now there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're running or deploying something on Linux, whether it's with data, whether it's with .NET, whether it's with other languages, we got a great story there as well. And
right.
That ability to kind of use the best tool for the job and have that richness of the ecosystem, you know, is something I think was highlighted throughout all the different demos and a lot of the different features. And then in terms of announcements, boy, we had a lot. And so whether it was around, you know, showcasing a lot of the innovations that we're doing around mobile development.
Right.
Where, you know, earlier this year we acquired Xamarin. You know, we've supercharged it, and with VS 2017, boy, we got a ton of new capabilities for mobile development.
Right.
Including the new Visual Studio for Mac, which we released today in preview form.
Mm-hmm.
And allows you to take that same solution file, same project file that you use in VS on Windows, and now open and have an editing and debugging and VS experience on a Mac.
Including ASP.NET.
Yeah, not just for iOS and Android.
Right.
But also now for .NET Core and ASP.NET support as well.
Yeah.
Which is great. We showed off our new Visual Studio Mobile Center, which basically allows you to take, again, any mobile project, not even one built in Visual Studio. It could just be a straight Xcode or a straight Android Studio project.
Right.
And set up continuous integration, so you can do build, you can do testing, you can do beta testing to your users, you can do analytics, you know, all literally in minutes in stand up, which I think has gone over really well. And then on the cloud side, a whole bunch of announcements, in particular around containers and Docker,
right,
which is now built in directly into VS 2017. You know, we really showed off how any .NET app, whether it's built with .NET Core or the full .NET framework, you can literally now Dockerize and containerize and run in a container host. And with
right.
Azure and the Azure Container Service, we've got a really rich story. And then today we're also releasing support for using containers within Azure App Service,
right.
which is probably our most popular service on Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And makes it just incredibly easy today to host web apps. Traditionally on Windows, so we've got great .NET support.
Right.
We've now released it so you can spin up App Service for Linux, and you can also then bring your own container. And so you can take any container, whether it's .NET Core, whether it's Node.js, we showed both in the keynote,
right, right.
Or any other language, and run it. We released our Azure Function Service in GA.
Mm-hmm.
We basically released a new bot service preview, which is built on top of Functions. We did a whole bunch of data announcements, including the release of SQL Server for Linux public preview,
right.
As well as SQL Server now running inside containers. And that last thing is really cool, because if you've got a dev machine, you can now install and run SQL Server in about 5 seconds and spin it up in a container and then tear it down when you're done. And have that container work not just on a Windows dev machine, but also a Mac and Linux dev machine as well. And then we showed off a whole bunch of cool stuff with our cognitive services. And I probably forgot a bunch of things, but
right, yeah.
It gives you a rough sense of just the fire hose of cool stuff that came out today.
And, you know, especially for somebody that's had to sit through the SQL Server installer before and just kind of the before and after, having the 2-second install, like,
yeah.
You know, there's probably a bunch of DBAs
yeah.
clapping wildly.
And the nice thing also with SQL that we announced today is we're taking a lot of the programming model features of SQL, things like in-memory OLTP support,
mm-hmm.
things like columnar store support, things like always encrypted, things like row-level security, which, you know, are, you know, most of those features I just mentioned are very unique to SQL and something that no other data platform today supports. It enables you to build just amazing applications. But previously, they were only in the most expensive version of SQL, which
right.
is SQL Enterprise Edition. And now we're taking those features, and they're not only in standard, but they're even in the free Express Edition of SQL as well.
Oh, awesome.
And so that really enables you to build much more differentiated data apps,
mm-hmm.
do it on any platform, and you know, really enable an amazing experience.
Cool. All right, so we got some questions from customers. So we're going to go through and make sure to ask your questions, and we'll get them answered here. But Jay Joshi asks, any update on taking UWP, XAML, Xamarin Forms to Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, web, a true universal app platform?
Yeah, one of the things that we showed today were a bunch of the improvements that we're making to Xamarin Forms, which is a effectively a cross-platform version of XAML that you can run in a Windows app with UWP, you can run it in iOS or an Android app.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got some really great tooling improvements that came out with it, as well as some runtime improvements today.
Right.
And that does work on both, in all those platforms that you just mentioned.
Right.
And runs in both the Visual Studio tool as well as the Visual Studio for Mac tool with a WYSIWYG experience now.
Oh, awesome.
And so that's a pretty big set of improvements, and I think gives you what you're looking for.
Okay, well, there you go. It's available for download now, so give us that feedback. Wes asks, is there a plan for Visual Studio for Mac to support projects targeting the full .NET framework? So this is not just, say, .NET Core, full framework, things you might think of, Windows Forms, WPF, et cetera.
Yeah, right now we don't have plans for that, primarily because the full .NET framework does have a bunch of dependencies on a bunch of the Windows subsystems. And
right.
so porting that to other platforms is challenging. You know, the approach we're taking instead is how do we keep adding capability to .NET Core
mm-hmm.
and effectively bring up the surface area of .NET Core to approach the full .NET framework even more to make porting to .NET Core even easier.
Okay.
And so today, for example, we released .NET Core 1.1 in preview form. That includes a whole bunch of new APIs and surface area that makes it even easier to build .NET Core apps. And so that, I don't expect to see the full .NET framework ever run probably on a Mac, but do expect that .NET Core will keep getting richer and richer over time.
Okay. And you know, when people think of the .NET full framework, by the way, do they think there's kind of that separation of it was both UI and kind of APIs?
Mm-hmm.
And .NET Core seems to just be saying like, hey, we're a set of APIs, and then we have kind of ASP.NET. Do you see that kind of continuing, where there's kind of this differentiation between basically APIs as opposed to UI layers with the Xamarin approach?
Well, the thing we're trying to do with .NET Core is, you know, how do we have very clean layering in the architecture?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we not have to bake everything into one install?
Right.
You know, when we came out with the .NET framework back in, I guess, 2000 now, you know, back then, you know, people were still in dial-ups and, you know, internet connectivity was not fantastic.
Right.
And, you know, the way you still distributed a lot of software was, you know, you install it locally. And
right.
that meant, you know, everyone wanted their library into a single binary so that it could be installed locally. You know, now with, you know, the internet being even more pervasive, you know, the approach that we're trying to take is don't have one monolithic thing, have a very lightweight .NET Core, and then effectively you bring in the libraries that you need.
Okay, so it's a pay-as-you-go model, if you will.
Yeah, effectively, I mean, you don't have to pay, but yeah, effectively, you bring in what you need.
Right, from a size perspective.
From a size perspective. And so if you're a server, you don't need to have the client libraries, and if you're a client app, you don't need to have the server libraries, obviously.
Okay.
And so, you know, depending on whether you're building a, say, Xamarin app, whether you're building an ASP.NET app, or whether you're building a middleware app, or so forth, the libraries will be slightly different. And we think that ultimately gives us much more agility and also allows .NET Core to be used on many more form factors.
Right.
So, for example, in Scott Hanselman's keynote, he showed off Tizen from Samsung.
Right, right.
Which is their operating system for a lot of their devices going forward, you know, natively supporting .NET Core. And again, that means they can choose which libraries they need at the higher level layer and then have that same core consistent layer below.
Sweet. Back to some questions here. Steve asks, what about .NET in the browser?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think generally, you know, the direction that browsers are going is, you know, disabling extensions and disabling plugins.
Mm-hmm.
And, You know, and so I don't think you're going to see full .NET or .NET in the browser natively per se. Mm-hmm. You know, I think instead probably the path that you're going to see .NET used is primarily for native mobile apps.
Right.
You know, whether it's on your iPhone, on your Android, your Windows Phone, and then obviously for desktop and universal Windows app experiences, mm-hmm. That'll be the primary client experience that's native on the client. And then obviously ASP.NET with things like Angular or React on the server are probably going to be more the path for the client UI going forward that we'll support.
Okay. And Joe Coucher asks, so the announcements today covered running .NET Core on every platform, but IoT wasn't covered. When will you be able to run .NET Core apps on Raspberry Pi with Linux or Windows 10 IoT?
We didn't mention IoT as much in this keynote, just because there's a couple other events going on right now that are very IoT specific, and we're talking more there. I believe, I need to double check, but I believe .NET Core today does run on Raspberry Pi with Linux.
I thought it did.
And I believe also runs on Windows 10 IoT.
Okay.
So I think the answer to that is we already support that today, which is good.
Okay, so we have now answered Joe's question, which is certainly a good one. Yeah, and when you start thinking about IoT, how do you think about like the programming model from an Azure perspective? So that you don't actually have to program in .NET to use our IoT services. We're kind of like any language. How do you all, you know, for lack of a better word, kind of message that or say or what languages to support on the IoT side?
Well, I think, you know, generally what we're seeing in the industry, you know, both for IoT and more broadly, is, you know, people want really two things. They want the modularity that they can actually make independent technology decisions and couple them together with other technology decisions in kind of a Lego block kind of way. And so we definitely see some set of customers that say, hey, I've already bet on an embedded OS, for example, to run inside my car. and I've chosen that for a variety of different reasons.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, I've decided, I, for whatever reason, I can't use Windows IoT. And I'm using a different embedded operating system. Can I still use your cloud? And we want to make sure with Azure IoT, absolutely. The answer is definitely yes.
It's cloud is agnostic is maybe the
other. So we're agnostic in terms of what operating system that you use and even what developer language you use to build that client set of apps. And you know, we expose through sort of the common protocols that are familiar in IoT and devices, as well as obviously REST protocols, how you can connect to our IoT hub in Azure and still get great value. And we now, with our Field Gateway service, as well as with some of our backend services with Azure IoT, you know, we can do even like firmware updates, software patching, and a whole bunch of more scenarios, you know, to Linux embedded systems, to other real-time embedded systems, and then obviously to Windows systems. And you know, that modularity gives us that flexibility where people can use us. And the same approach today when we showed SQL on a Mac or SQL on Linux, you know, we'd still personally love you to run SQL on Windows, would be our preference.
Right.
But we want to make sure you have that modularity so that if for some reason you have chosen a different operating system, great, we want to make sure our stuff works well with it.
Right.
And then obviously we also hear from customers that say, I love that modularity, but I'd also love you to tell me and support an end-to-end stack so that you can be the single throat to choke when something goes wrong, so to speak. And we definitely do hear that from customers. And so we're making sure our software also works composable end-to-end. So if you want to have a single vendor or a single place to go that from the language to the operating system of the client to the server to the data to
tools,
everything,
you
know, we'll make sure our stuff works well together. But we want to make sure our stuff also works in a modular way so that it's not all or nothing. You know, you get maximum flexibility to choose how much of the pieces. And the more pieces you choose, the even better it'll work together.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah.
Randy Walker asks, will you ever wear a blue this is the hardest question. Will you ever wear a blue shirt or even a green shirt?
No.
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 Next question. Sorry, Randy, you lose. Anil asked, when will Xamarin Forms support Mac OS apps? So this is another back to the whole multi-targeting, you know, that one app that could target everything. What's the Mac OS answer?
It's a good question. I know we support building Mac apps today with Xamarin. Mm-hmm. I don't know the status of Xamarin Forms.
Okay.
Is Miguel going to come in later?
Yeah, actually, this is a great question.
That'd be a great question.
If you didn't know, from Miguel and Nat are going to be on in a few minutes. So,
okay.
So that'll be good. Marcel, we will hold that question. Seth will get it answered on the live stream. So Marcel asks, XAML WPF, maybe with Xamarin Forms for many platforms. So I think this is kind of the same question. Will Xamarin Forms support macOS and Linux? And I think we can basically ask that question in the next event. So let's see Ed's question here, if we can get it popped up. Ed asks, what is the difference between Visual Studio Mac and Xamarin Studio? Seem very similar. Will Visual Studio for Mac replace Xamarin Studio?
Yeah, so Visual Studio for Mac will replace Xamarin Studio.
Okay.
But it's more than just sort of a rebranding. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of the Visual Studio for Mac code base comes from Xamarin Studio.
Right.
So everything you do in Xamarin Studio today will work in Visual Studio for Mac. And then what we're doing is adding more capabilities into Visual Studio for Mac. And so with like today's preview as an example, we delivered great ASP.NET tooling support as well as .NET Core support, which Xamarin Studio didn't support.
Yeah.
And then what we're going to add even more in the future is some of our higher level library capabilities, richer designer support, and then also rich Azure tooling support as well.
Right.
And so you'll see Visual Studio for Mac get steadily richer and richer. And we think with today's public preview, we've got enough there to start getting feedback. Mm-hmm. And then you'll just see it continually get richer going forward from now.
So the SQL tools is nice because they had a Visual Studio extension that obviously allows to have select star from a database, and it works great on SQL for Linux or Mac, and it's in Visual Studio Code.
Yep.
It's kind of one code base. How do you think about the engineering teams that are building for Visual Studio, which is on Windows, Visual Studio for Mac, and building kind of shared components so you don't have to kind of duplicate? Has that problem been solved yet, or is there still going to be
Problem's been solved, but it's certainly something we're working hard on. One of the things that we did with Visual Studio for Code architecturally is we run a lot of the different pieces out of process.
Mm-hmm.
So, Visual Studio for Windows, is a pretty mature code base. I mean, it's more than 20 years old.
Yeah, there's probably some old VB4 in there still.
I don't think we have that anymore. But back then, applications, for the most part, all ran in process together.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the extensions for VS run in devenv.exe.
Right.
And, the nice thing about the VS code architecture is things like the debugger and even the language IntelliSense engines run in separate processes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're basically building up an architecture that enables us at a protocol layer to integrate between these different processes and reuse code. And so you will see more and more shared code base between VS on Windows, VS Code, as well as VS for Mac.
So it's almost like a microservices in the desktop, if you will. Yeah. Like, take this thing and separate it. And I think the other customer value, and tell me if this is right, is an extension, maybe you had a third-party extension, it would crash and it would bring down all of DevN, but now you kind of have that isolation boundary. Yeah.
That's one of the nice things about it. And, things like Roslyn, which is our C# and VB code service and language service, and is both, kind of the compiler, the core intelligence engine. We have a single shared library now that we use across VS on Windows, VS on Mac, and on VS Code.
Right.
And so, we have one team now that's improving that, and then all tools improve simultaneously. You'll see us do that with more and more components over time.
Sweet.
And that basically means you can choose, first, do you want a code optimized experience or do you want an IDE?
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's, any of those decisions, you can choose which OS that you want to run it on.
Okay. And
you get that
the answer could be both as well.
And the answer could definitely be both. And the way our VS subscriptions will work is when you buy it, you get both.
Right.
And so you absolutely have, full flexibility. You just buy one thing and you can run it anywhere.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple core questions here. Victor asks, are there any news regarding open sourcing XAML?
I don't think, have any specific news around XAML open sourcing today.
Okay.
Other than obviously XAML Forms is open source.
Okay.
Already. And so that is already open source, and mm-hmm. we showed off a lot of Xamarin Forms today.
Okay, that's a good answer. Ameno asks, any chance we get Objective-C or Swift support in VS for Mac?
Good question. We don't have that built in today, but it's certainly possible. And you know, we have open extension APIs, and so you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't already exist that someone builds something for VS Code, or for VS for Mac, or VS on Windows. So
a lot of people are familiar with you know the Visual Studio Code extensibility model, yep. just because that's almost where you get a lot of your stuff, and certainly Visual Studio.
Yep.
Visual Studio for Mac, same idea, extensions, whether it's you know third parties or community extensions, are all possible.
So. We got Xamarin.
I believe
Miguel
so.
And Nat coming up.
Miguel and Nat will give us a thumbs up if they can do. Okay, we're getting a thumbs up, so
it
good.
Does, yeah.
Fantastic.
You'll be able to go much deeper in terms of the extension API.
Okay, actually, Ed asks, will Hockey App be folded into the application's insights, or will it still stay a separate product? So for folks who don't know, what is Hockey App, what is Application Insights, and where do you see their combination?
Yeah, Hockey App is one of the most widely used tools in the mobile development space. And it's part of Microsoft now. We acquired them about 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a number of things. One is app distribution, so like beta testing of an app. And then also they do crash analytics and more. But those are two of the most common scenarios. And you know what we showed today in my keynote, that Nat Friedman in particular presented, was around our new Visual Studio Mobile Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually includes Hockey App. It includes a Xamarin Test Cloud. It includes a new continuous integration build pipeline for mobile. That works not just with Visual Studio Team Services, but even will work with GitHub.
Right.
And a bunch more, and including analytics. And so you're going to see Visual Studio Mobile Center become, in some ways, the unification and your kind of mobile command center for all things mobile.
Okay.
And so if you're a Hockey App user today, definitely recommend checking out the Visual Studio Mobile Center,
mm-hmm.
because that will have your full set of capabilities plus a whole bunch more of these pieces integrated, including some of the App Insights functionality.
Okay,
yeah.
Good answer. Victor asks, will .NET Core support building graphical applications on Linux be built with XAML? So this may be another question kind of for Xamarin Forms, which seems to be our cross-platform application.
Yeah.
So we can punt that one to Miguel and Nat. Jason Walker asks, now that the code has been ported to Mac, are there plans for a full Visual Studio IDE on Linux? So do you want to talk about, because you know people are reading this as it's a port, and you mentioned this before, but maybe just to kind of clarify what Visual Studio for Mac is and where you see it going.
Yeah, so I mean, Visual Studio for Mac does have shared code with Visual Studio, but it also has a bunch of code that's specific to it.
Okay.
And includes code that we also, that started off in Xamarin Studio. So it's a number of things. You know, the question is do we have plans for a full Visual Studio IDE for Linux? Probably not right now.
Okay.
For two reasons. One is we're just trying to get the Mac version to work well first. So there's a bunch of work that we're focused on there.
Sure.
And then the other reason is we do have Visual Studio code today that works on Linux, as well as Mac and Windows. And you know, generally, often what we hear from Linux-based developers is they kind of prefer that more code-optimized editing experience over a full-blown IDE.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the things that we're very cognizant of is, you know, how do we not just port things everywhere, but really understand what are the unique requirements and what do those developers want?
Okay.
And so, for right now, we're hearing a lot more interest amongst Linux and, you know, frankly, open source developers that are not using .NET around having kind of the VS Code-like experience where it's very lightweight, you know, it's much more of a code-optimized experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we often hear from people doing mobile development, hey, I do want a full-blown IDE. And that's
right.
True not just whether you're doing Windows, but especially also for iOS and Android developers as well. And that's one of the reasons why we built VS for Mac, is to kind of hit that sweet spot, in particular for mobile.
Right.
And then obviously we hear from enterprise developers as well, that, you know, they want IDEs and they want to have kind of that integrated development experience that really can handle the whole DevOps experience. And so,
right.
you know, the goal of the VS family is how do we serve all those different audiences, share as much as possible where it makes sense,
right.
but at the same time really nail each persona and make sure that we really know what that person wants, mm-hmm. as opposed to try to put all everything into a common
Right, and you end up with something that isn't great for everyone.
Exactly.
Sure, absolutely. So Ian Campello asks, what about SQL Server, at least developer edition, on Mac and Entity Framework? So do you want to kind of compare and contrast SQL on Linux? And why would somebody use SQL Express as well? Because, you know, there's developer edition. Are there?
Well, the cool thing, Ian, is you can basically now use SQL Server on a Mac, full features.
Right.
And the way you do that is by installing Docker on your Mac. And then we have in Docker Hub today a SQL Server image.
Right.
And so basically you could just set a Docker pull request. It's one line. It'll download it from Docker Hub. It's about a 300 meg image. So it, you know, take a few seconds to download. And then you run one command, which is Docker run. And you give it a username and password that you want to use. And 2 seconds later, SQL Server is running on your Mac.
Right.
And so, you know, if you've got a lightning fast network connection, you can literally go from nothing installed on your Mac to having SQL up and running in under 10 seconds.
It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing, yeah. And that gives you kind of the ability to use the full API surface set, including
right.
Entity Framework. And so we do now have Entity Framework Core working on a Mac with .NET Core.
Right.
And so whether you're using VS Code, whether you're using Visual Studio for Mac, you can do full development against SQL on your Mac using .NET and Entity Framework.
So
today.
SQL on Linux, what's the story for Azure support for SQL on Linux? Like, will I be able to, you know, the SQL DB service? Should I use an IaaS VM? Is it kind of all of the above? Or what's the, somebody looking and evaluating, what are the Azure options for SQL on Linux?
Well, I think one of the nice things about the running it on Azure specifically is our SQL database as a service, or SQL DB, we sometimes
right.
call it. And so that is a full managed service for SQL
mm-hmm.
that has the same programming model as SQL on Windows and the same programming model as SQL on Linux.
Okay.
And so we definitely see a model where developers will develop locally using, you know, SQL on a Mac as an example, and or SQL on Linux in
right.
a and then basically when you push it to Azure, you'll run your application code perhaps on Linux, and then just have the application code connect to SQL DB as a service,
mm-hmm.
and you don't care what it's running on because it's provided to you with full capabilities in SLA.
Right.
And then, you know, separately, some people might still want to run it in an infrastructure as a service environment, in which case, yeah, you can absolutely spin up virtual machines and deploy and run SQL DB on them.
Okay, so the answer is kind of everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we've got a couple minutes here. Lon Wabo asks, any chance of being able to code in Java in Visual Studio like C Sharp? So Visual Studio support for Java.
We have, we don't have that full support inside Visual Studio itself, but someone, I think the Red Hat group has actually contributed Java support to VS Code.
Okay.
And so if you install the Java extension for VS Code, you do actually have a rich Java editing experience. And I think it'll be popular, and I think you'll see more and more features come to that over time.
Yeah, it's been great seeing everybody kind of investing in there.
Yeah.
So why don't we do, I think we'll make this kind of our last question here. Nicholas Andre asks, we've seen Microsoft supporting open source more and more lately. What were the benefits for the company after investing so much efforts on open source?
Well, I mean, two reasons. I think one is, you know, we hear customers asking for it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and so anytime you make your customers happier, usually good things come from that.
Right.
You know, from a business model perspective, you know, people say, "Well, why do you care?" You know, it's good for our business as well. You know, more
right.
and more of our revenue comes from the cloud, and you know, the ability to have not just our existing Windows Server customers, but also anyone running Linux, to be able to build apps in our cloud helps our cloud business. And you know, even things like SQL Server, people would say, "Wow, you know, why go on Linux?" You know, today SQL Server has the largest market share of any database in the world.
Right.
And it only runs on half of servers in the world because it only ran on Windows.
Right.
This gives us a chance where, you know, everyone that's using, say, Oracle or DB2 or other database systems today that have a Linux administration team and said, oh, I can't consider Windows a SQL because it only runs on Windows.
Right.
You know, this is giving us, frankly, an opportunity to have conversations and grow our share even more to the places that we didn't previously run. And so, you know, it's I think, good for customers. I think it's great for developers.
Okay.
You know, and frankly, it's good business for Microsoft.
Yeah, and I think really exciting just seeing all the teams actually invest where we're contributing source code into that ecosystem, right? Whether it's Docker or some of those other things. So, Scott, any parting words or otherwise, thank you. At Scott Gu. Pleasure to have you on.
Thanks so much.
Coming up next, we're actually going to have Nat and Miguel de Casa taking your questions, hard questions on Visual Studio for Mac and Mobile Center. So it should be good.
Great.
Thanks.
Sweet. Cool.